Today's chapter is Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Menah, the son of Mattathah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Abinadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Luke chapter 3 starts with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. Luke writes that John the Baptist is fulfilling the prophet Isaiah's words from centuries before, quoting Isaiah in verses 4 to 6. Verse 4 says, "As it is written in the books of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And that's indeed what John does as he goes around the Jordan River area, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Some people were questioning if John was the Christ, but John makes it clear that he is not, and he is only preparing the way for the Christ. In verse 16, he says, "I baptize you with water, but he who is coming is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." What really stood out to me in this chapter was verses 10 to 14, where many people are responding to God's message of repentance through John. The crowd that comes to be baptized were just told a very harsh message that started with, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance." But instead of being offended at being called a brood of vipers, or getting defensive or denying that they needed repentance, they accept the message and respond in verse 10 by asking, "What then shall we do?" John says, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." In other words, care for your neighbor. Don't hoard up clothing or food for yourself, but give to the person in need. Included in the people, tax collectors came to be baptized, and they likewise asked, "What should we do?" I first thought, wow, tax collectors, what an unlikely group of people to be drawn to the message of repentance. They were despised for their position, working for the Roman government and collecting taxes from their own people. And it was well known that some tax collectors would take advantage of their positions to make more money. So after further thought, it actually kind of makes sense that they were among the folks coming to John. Sure, they were more well off than most, but something in them must have realized this is not right. They recognized their need for repentance, for turning to God. John's application of repentance for them is, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." In addition to the tax collectors, another group that is called out among the people coming to John are soldiers. They also ask, "What shall we do?" To which John responds, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." It's a similar message as the tax collectors received. Don't take advantage of your position, but just do your job honestly. Now, soldiers were also not well-liked by the average Israelite, yet here they are responding to God's message of repentance through John. God was clearly stirring in all these people. Verse 15 even says that they were in expectation. I think a big takeaway for us from these verses, where we see the crowds, the tax collectors and soldiers being baptized and seeking repentance, is that God desires to work in everybody. God desires to work in everybody. Back then and today as well, there is nobody outside of God's reach. Or put positively, everybody has a need for God and can respond to him. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this basic truth all the time. That I am a spiritual being who absolutely needs God, and everybody around me is a spiritual being who absolutely needs God. Whether they are rich or poor, whether they are in positions of authority or not, whether they seem far from God or not. Now this means that we should always be on the lookout for how God may be working in the people around us. Perhaps like the people we read about, God is stirring in somebody we know right now a hunger to turn from their own ways and to turn to God. And perhaps God wants to use us to share the good news of Jesus with them, to point them to the one they are looking for. Let's be on the lookout for God's activity in the people around us. And let's also be continually on the lookout for God's work in us. Repentance, turning to God, is not limited to a one-time give my life to Jesus moment. It's also a regular, daily thing, because we still sin all the time. We still stray away from God. But by the Holy Spirit, we are constantly invited to turn to God again. The good news is that in our relationship with Jesus, as promised here in this passage, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the areas in our lives where we need to be guided back to Jesus, where we need to surrender to Jesus again. And the Spirit also gives us the power to do that. Jesus coming to earth, taking on our humanity, being baptized himself, as we see in this passage, and living the perfect life, dying and rising again, guarantees that God will always be involved in our lives and help us to live for him. So again, let's be people who respond when God calls us to turn to him. And let's be ready to join in his work in those around us as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that Jesus, you came to earth to make a way. And Jesus, you are the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit so that we can not only recognize our sin, but we have the power now to turn from it and to actually live for you. God, I pray that we would be sensitive to your Spirit, Lord, however you are leading us, and help us to see how you're working in others as well. Help us not to ever think that somebody is too far from you. But God, help us to pray in faith for the people we know like that. God, we submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.